It is an honor to be in the house of the Lord, and we thank you for coming. Anybody that's anybody is here tonight. You see somebody that ain't here, you tell them I said that. Appreciate you, Pastor. In my better days, I had a little more word of encouragement, so I'd call him every now and then. He thought I forgot him, but if I can't tell you something worth listening, Pastor, ain't no use in doing it. But y'all have been a real friend to us down through the years, and we have shared laughter and we've shared pain. But God has been faithful through it all. Didn't always promise life was going to be easy, but he did promise, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. He didn't promise smooth sailing, but a safe landing, and I'm grateful and thankful that he's allowed us to be a part of that program that he outlined a long time ago, whereby we could be saved from the clutches of sin and brought into the newness of life. Just a thought tonight, and I hope this thought was better than the one I had this morning. I told him, Vernon, I said, you know, I was at one of the deadest, driest churches I was ever in my life, a little place called Loveland, Ohio, at a Church of God, and I said, that's the deadest, driest church I was ever in, and they were standing there looking at me, and I said, this might be the second. Got a couple amens, but that's about it. So, you know, I've told that story for all these years, 40, 50 years, I've told that story about that dead, dry church, and now they're the second one. So, don't make me tell y'all the third. I'm taking names. But we're living in an hour of opportunity. I'm not a brilliant scholar, and don't expect nothing great out of me, folks. This is just a thought. This is my notepad right here. Normally it's got about five pages, but it ain't. This is it. Lord, don't show up. We all hurting. You know, what B.H. Clendenin said, he said, you know, you folks don't need to hear me, but you need to hear something from him. And we ain't got anything from him. We ain't got anything to give you at all. Not in the least. But we have been given a window of opportunity as Christian people to share more of our gospel without the threat of having your head taken off. How long this window of opportunity is going to be open, I cannot tell you. But I do believe that God has purposes in everything that he does. And them he puts in office and them he takes down. And I do believe his purpose is to give us an opportunity to reap a last day harvest that only can be reached in this hour that we live in. I do not believe your pastor preached a sermon over at Old Union, and I wrote every note down and read and reread it on the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. More prevalent tonight, Vernon, than it was 2 years ago when you preached that sermon. They told me that when I was a kid. Scared me half to death. I wonder why it's lost its fear today. You preach on the soon coming of the Lord and it didn't faze people anymore. Preach on hell. Nobody feels the smoke, smells the smoke, or feels the flame. We're comfortable. We have become a very comfortable people. We're comfortable where we're at. We're comfortable in the position we are. We're comfortable in our place and our relationship with God to where nothing seems to move us anymore. Somebody preaches a sermon and we shake their hand going out the door and say, you've done a good job. But mostly we're unchanged and we're unmoved and we're not shaken as we used to be. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is just as powerful tonight as it was the first night you ever heard it. And it is still just as binding as it ever was. even though men don't even want to agree with it and don't want to accept it, he told them over in Romans, Paul said, even if you don't want to retain it in your mind, you're still going to be held responsible for it all. So just a little thought tonight along those lines, not long, but just a thought. Vernon told me y'all had to be out of here by at least 7:45. I'm lying. He told me that I could preach as long as I want to, but 8 o'clock y'all going home. Take my time. You'll be here by yourself, but you can go on. But if you have a Bible in the book of Amos, in the book of Amos, just a verse of scripture in 8th chapter and 11th verse. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will send famine in the land, not for famine of bread, nor of thirst of water, but of the hearing of the word of God. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. That's my thought tonight, is a famine for the hearing of the word of God. It's hard to believe that in America that we live in a famine for the word of God. But we are living in a Bible Belt here in Laurel County. There's more Pentecostal churches in Laurel County than there are probably any other county going around. And every time you turn around, they're starting another one up. That reminds me of that. Remember that story they told about the old boy was stranded on the island? He was out there on the island stranded, and when they finally found him years later, he had three huts. And they asked him, said, well, what's these huts for? He said, I live in that one. He said, what's that one there? He said, that's where I go to church. He said, what's that one over there? He said, that's where I used to go to church. Some people can't even get along with themselves. And y'all know I've pastored a few of them. Forgive me, Lord. You know a minute. But even though we are filled with denominational churches and religious churches, there is still a famine for the hearing of the word of God. Because if it didn't change you, you didn't hear it. If it doesn't move us, we haven't heard what thus saith the word of God. It wasn't because that God didn't speak, or because that God had nothing more to say to man, but it was a condition of man in which he was incapable of discerning what God had to say. We'd rather take what Parsley says. We'd rather take what Hagee says. We'd rather take what Clef Low Dollar says. We'd rather take what the TV preachers say than what thus saith the word of God. We're more interested in what the church across town, how are they growing? How are they getting the people in? How are they doing this? God didn't call us, folks, to pastor that church across town. Our responsibility is to preach the word of God, receive the word of God, and be responsible for what we have heard. But the famine isn't that the word is not going out. It isn't that God don't have anything to say. God is speaking, but we need to find out what's he saying. What is he saying to this church in this hour that we live in? I read my paper just like everybody else does. Laurel County is no exception. Y'all got shooting. You got dope going on. It seems to be a mecca of dope going on in Laurel County. Pulaski's no different. Seems like everywhere you turn, somebody's shooting somebody, killing somebody. And we wonder how in the world did these things happen. There was a day when the church affected the climate and the morality of the town. Amen. There was a day when the church affected the way that our town lived, even though some of them didn't come to church, yet there was a morality because that church was in that town. I told them this morning, me and the girls went to a couple of churches in Cumberland that were started in liquor stores. The old boy got saved, and he went and poured all of his liquor out, and they started a church in that store. There was people that had drive down the road, what bums walking down the street. Something inside of that building got a hold of them, and they come off of the street because there was something in there. They said that Wesley would walk through a factory in England, and they'd have to shut the factory down until they helped them find Jesus Christ. God help us as a church to become effective in our community. In Somerset, we stayed dry. Every time liquor come up, every church in that town, mostly Baptists, voted it down until they got a little more comfortable about revenue. It's amazing what money will buy. They don't care if it's your kid that's going down the drain. I'm looking for our mayor next to legalize dope. Got revenue. We need more revenue. It's amazing that we'll throw our kids under the bus for a few dollars here and a few dollars there. But there was a time when that church affected the elections that we had on a wet and dry vote. But anymore, we've become comfortable. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Don't push your religion on somebody. You might offend them. I'm telling you, the Word of God said, Jesus said, if you be offended of me, if you be ashamed of me in this perverted world, I'll be ashamed of you in front of my Heavenly Father. I'd rather you be offended at me than for me to offend him. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm Pentecostal, and that's not an excuse. That's a statement. Hallelujah. Through and through. If you're not going to change the church to some river or some well or some spring. Let's don't call it Pentecostal. That's what I am. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. If I believed anything else, I'd be there. That's what I am. We need to be a statement making people, not just going along for the ride. We was out in Branson, Missouri, missionary convention several years ago. And the pastor of the large church there, his wife, was talking about it, and I was complaining. I was complaining about all these denominational churches. They didn't want to put Pentecost on their name. They wouldn't even want Church of God on their name. You know. And she said there was a church out there they called, you know, the Spring. One down the street decided they want to do a little bit better, and they called themselves the Well. And she said, then another one moved down the road, and they called themselves the Creek. And she said, the next year, somebody started one and called it the Flood. All of the reason of trying to disassociate ourselves from who we are. I got a point to this, folks. In these latter days, we have become so conscious of becoming ecumenical and accepted by everybody in town. We want to be good on the ministerial association and other churches in town. We want to be buddies. If it causes you to compromise who you are, there is a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. We saw a boy this morning from over in this area, and Naomi asked him, said, where are you going to church? Pentecostal boy. He said, I'm going to the Lake Cumberland Church of Christ. And I said, my Lord, you know, how in the world can you be filled with the Holy Spirit and gloriously baptized in it and be satisfied in a church that don't believe it, that preaches against it? We are living in a day of famine for the hearing of the Word of God. If you can sit in a Pentecostal church and not believe in it, folks, and be comfortable somewhere else, you have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, we have all kinds of them. You know, they leave one church and go to the next thing you know, they're out. Next thing you know, they're doing this, doing that, and doing the other. And I thought they didn't believe nothing. I just preached to myself a while. I'll wake y'all up and it's over with. Don't believe anything because there's a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. Me and these girls come to church when we was kids. We didn't have children's church. We didn't know what that was. We had to sit between a rock and a hard place. That meant Mom sat on that side and Dad sat on this side. We didn't move. If you had to go, you have better needed to went. Or you would be needing to go. Didn't have children's church. Didn't know what that was. We grew up in the sanctuary. We was up in Indiana, someplace up there at a Nazarene church doing a singing one night. And the boy got up, and they had a building over here for, young adult class. They had nothing over here, had all the walls black and all the lights flashing, every different color. These are the teenagers and that kind of class. They had another class over there. And I wondered, how do you get to be in this class right here? Some of them, Vernon, started from kindergarten and never was in the sanctuary until they got as old as I am. And then when they got here, they about like what they said about Social Security. Government said, Social Security, when you get old, we're going to give it back to you. That old boy up in Harlan County said, that's just like giving a nut to a squirrel with no teeth. What are you going to do with it then? You know, you're wasting your good years of your life being unproductive, hard to fit in when you get to this place. But it's not that God has ceased to speak, but it's that man has lost his power to hear. It's not that God withholds his word from men, but that men hear it, but never hear it. They have ears to hear, but never grasping the truth of it all. We live in, I think G. Campbell Morgan put it this way about famine for the word of God. He said this is what the famine meant. No message from the unseen that man hears or recognizes or believes in. We'd rather hear what somebody else said. No word from the unseen that we recognize or that we believe in. I'm persuaded to believe that if the Holy Ghost showed up in a lot of churches, he'd have to stop the drama team from doing cartwheels across the front of the building in order to even say anything to God's people. Amen. A lot of them, he's standing at the door. It's his house, but he's never been in there. We're doing our own thing. We call it religious and we call it worship. But it's not reaching souls. It's not touching lives. Somebody said, oh, but what we're doing, we're packing our church out. You can fill this building out, folks, of people that be going to hell and they don't even know about it. I'd rather have them know they're saved than sit on that pew and think they are. Amen. Who was it? I think it was the New England guy that Gene had here a few years back, several years ago. Ravenhill said he said, I believe the sinner's prayer is going to send more people to hell than anything else. And you get to think about that for a minute. And you think they come in and they say, you repeat after me, I'm a sinner, sorry for my sins. We baptize them in the baptistry, we set them on the seat and we tell them they're saved. Now, you pay your tithes, be a good little boy, and you go to heaven. And they sit there the whole time thinking, I've got it. There's a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. Because this altar up here is a place where you die. And when you get up, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Nicodemus was a religious dude. He paid his tithes, paid the temple tax. He knew the Scripture. He could have quoted you the Word of God. But Jesus looked at him and said, boy, you've got to be born again. That religious stuff ain't helping you out any. He was dying of thirst for the hearing of the Word of God. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. We're not following man. We're not following a denomination. We're not following some religious order. We must follow Christ if we're going to get anywhere in this life. Campbell Morgan said, no words speaking to the depths. When a man has no words speaking to the depths of a man's life, you are in a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. No authority laying its command upon a man's life to change him whatsoever. You're in a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. We hear it, yet we're unmoved. We agree with it, yet we're unchanged. Had a song out a few years ago, said, I'm tired of being touched and not changed. we must have a change. Got to come into your life. We can hear, Pastor, I thought about this. I wrote this down this evening, Vernon. I could picture, you know, Pastor Vernon getting up and preaching a sermon on divine healing upon God meeting your needs and how wonderful God can do it. And he gives an altar call. You get two or three people come, and you get four or five that won't budge. And when they get home, they call and pastor up, "Won't you pray for me? I want you to pray for me. I'm really sick." You want to say, "Wasn't you at church tonight? Wasn't you there? How come you didn't come up for prayer?" There is a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. The man told you what you needed to hear. If you don't respond, you heard it, but you didn't hear it. It went through this ear and out that one until the gospel is received as a seed in our heart and believed that this seed is the Word of God and allow it to do its work. We don't accomplish much. We're barren and we're hungry. We're in a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. We've heard this sermon preached so many times. The one I'm preaching to you tonight, this church, I'm sure has heard a dozen times, preached a dozen different ways. And we can sit there and say, "Brother so-and-so preached that better. I've heard it preached this way. I've heard it preached that way," until we get so gospel-hardened that it don't move us anymore. I pray, God, shake us to our feet. Shake us right down to the bone. May the Word of God once again pierce our heart and pierce our soul. May it challenge us to action and challenge us not to tears, but to action, that we could go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that his house may be filled. There is a harvest that's going unreaped because of the famine for the Word of God. If you could hear it tonight, it'd be him telling you, "Go, go, go." The Great Commission, folks, didn't say come and sit. It said go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Every creature. Somebody told me one time, said, "Well, I just don't have a witness. I can't witness." And kind of Harlan County, you know, Harlan County meanness. And it's that Wooten blood coming through every now and then, you know. But when they say, "Well, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, but I can't witness," I want to look at them and sometime have and say, "You're lying. You're lying. You want to tell me that what fell on that day of Pentecost that turned timid tongues into flames of fire, you want to tell me that what fell into a bunch of backwoods, uneducated people in that upper room went out and turned the world upside down, you want to tell me that you have received that when the Bible said, 'You shall be witnesses unto me once you have received it in your life'? It's impossible to be filled with heaven's Holy Ghost and have it shut up in your bones. It's impossible for you to be running over with the joy of the Lord and somebody not know about it. The world is dying for the hearing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because he's not talking, but because we're not hearing. We're not hearing. You can sit in the church, folks, where Jesus has the table spread and the saints of God are fed, and starve to death. I know this pastor y'all got is a very intelligent man and preaches you the truth and preaches you the word. He may not be as loud as I am, but the depths of what he's got to say is food to your ears, and it'll change your life. You can accept that, or we can call this a famine going on, and he'll leave some nights feeling like I've wasted my time. It went over their head. It went under their feet. They didn't get it. I've said that so many times in pastoring the church. They didn't get it. You fast and you prayed and you got what God told you to say, and you get up and you deliver your heart and you deliver it from the brokenness on the inside, and they just sit there and say, "That didn't affect me. That belongs to her. That belong. Pastor said that earlier tonight. That's that one over there, and that's this one over here. No, it's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer." One old fellow said, if I could only kick the person that's caused me the most trouble in my life, I wouldn't be able to sit down for a month. You want to know the problem? Look in a mirror, folks. When we respond to God, God responds. And the more that we have been given, the more is required of us. Amen. The substitution of the creature in any form for the Creator creates an incapacity to receive the Word of God. Anytime we put man in our ideas and our agendas ahead of what God has, we no longer have a capacity to hear what He has to say. There is a famine for the hearing of the Word. When Brother Hacker gets up here to perform and not sing from his heart like he has every time I've been, he touches me because I know where it's coming from. When you make this a show, when you make this, if you get up to try to impress somebody, show them how good you are or what talent you have. Talent and ability and education cannot take the place of the Word of God speaking into your heart and into your life. You can outsmart God, folks, if you want to, but you're going to come to a place in time where you're going to need nothing but Him. And when we get to the extent of all that we are, when you have exhausted all of who you are, is when He steps in and begin to mold you into the image that we want to be in and ought to be in. God help us put everything in us and our agendas away. Let me throw this in, and then we're going to quit. I thought so many times, talking about a famine for the hearing of the Word. People are looking for the Word of God in all the wrong places. We got them. We got all these people in Laurel County and Pulaski County on drugs. You know what they're actually looking for? Word of God. Think about it for a minute. They're trying to feel a void that was created when Adam and Eve eat us out of the house and home. They're trying to feel a void that sin has left in the heart of man. And they'll try drugs. They'll try alcohol. They get a makeover. They'll change jobs. They'll change communities. They'll change churches. They change wives. They change husbands. You hear me? All of that is because of a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. If they had only taken what He had to say and put it into their heart, it would have filled that emptiness in there. No drug, boys, can give you a high like the feeling and infilling of the Spirit of God. Now, you know, when I was a teenager, there was hippies, you know. And them hippies want to say, oh, I want to go on a trip, man. Far out, dude. Going on a trip. I thought, my Lord, the greatest trip I've ever owned was one night in camp meeting when He gloriously baptized me with the Holy Ghost. There ain't a drug can take that place. There ain't no thrill that's ever going to take that place. No amount of alcohol can drown anything this world except the blood of Jesus cleansed me from all unrighteousness. It drowned out the sound of the cries of the world. No longer are they an enticement to me. I found something more precious than gold. I found something the world could not have. It don't come in a pill. It don't come in a bottle. It comes by the Word of God when it's received in your heart, and it changes your life. People today are looking all over the country trying to find what you and I found right here tonight, the Word of God. They've tried it, you know, billions of dollars is spent on entertainment every year. Packed out auditoriums for rock and roll people. We've got folks that march for anything anymore. Most of them don't even know why they're marching. They just want to get in on the march. They'll have all, they fight for everything in the world except what they ought to. Several years ago, I was working at a lumber company, and we had, Georgia Pacific had strand board and plywood and all that kind of stuff for building materials, and probably reasonable. All of a sudden, there was a group out west decided that they need to march and protect the spotted owl. Funny thought hit my head. I shouldn't say it. And I want to say, who gives a hoot? It happens, Gilpin, in the most odd places. It shouldn't done it then, you know what I'm saying? Next thing you know, strand board and plywood, 2x4s went through the ceiling because somebody decided they had a voice that they wanted to raise up and defend something. Save the whale, save that little darter that was over there in the stream of Lake Cumberland. Remember that one? Got to save that little old fella. You give it to me, I'll put it on the hook. I'll save him in a big one. But we've got every kind of a march and every kind of thing. It's applying for our knowledge. Our young people, our town over at home, they said, well, you know, that some of the kids wanted to have a little sit-in at lunchtime, and the principal said, I think it's good to let them do that so they'll know about their... No, what you're teaching them is that they can stand against and defy what America has stood for all these years. Folks, we have a system and we have it in place. And if you don't like, I like that old boy said, don't like it, leave it. But we march because of this and we march because of that. Every kind of word is being heard today except the only word that'll change anybody's life, and that's to hear a word from God. A million voices could say a million words and it not change anything, but one word from Him can change your entire life. Amen. Would you stand? Marsha, would y'all come? I tell you what we need to do tonight. Laurel County, we need a move of the Spirit of God. We have a famine for the hearing of the Word. We have a famine for the seeing of the Word. Many people who profess Christianity and come here to church and any other church every Sunday very seldom allow that religion to get any farther than that door right there. We must, as a necessity during this window of opportunity, to let our voice be heard. Let the Word of God be heard in lifestyle, in word of testimony, and in the quoting of those scriptures. We can break this famine, folks. This drought can be over. This church, other side of town, had some great revivals. It's had some on this side of town. Only thing I can say is God, do it again. We must have a move of God. That the message your pastor preached, don't just say, Brother Jarvis, that's good. But it'll change your life. It'll stir you once more to say that's His word in my heart.